This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Toxic traits in family members, why they're harder to recognise, and what to do. The warning signs hiding in plain sight inside your own home. In short, toxic traits in family members stay hidden because the people closest to us are the hardest to see clearly. But the damage they cause is just as real. Love and loyalty make harmful patterns feel normal over decades. The most dangerous signs are often framed as care, humour, or tradition. Recognition is the first act of self-protection, not disloyalty. Definition: toxic traits. Family dynamics involve a repeated behavioural patterns within close family relationships that consistently cause emotional harm, undermine your confidence, or manipulate your choices. Unlike general conflict, these patterns persist across years and tend to worsen when left unnamed. A woman I know spent 40 years believing her mother was simply passionate. Every family dinner ended with her in tears, rehearsing what she had said wrong on the drive home. She was not wrong. She was simply the person her mother had chosen to manage her own unhappiness through. It took a stranger observing one single meal to name what the woman had been living inside her whole life, toxic traits dressed as high expectations. That is what makes this so hard. When the behaviour belongs to your parents, your siblings, or your children, you do not see patterns. You see people you love. The toxic traits in family relationships are not always loud or obvious. They are often woven into the everyday texture of how your family operates, and they have been there so long they feel like weather. Why toxic behaviour in families stays hidden so long? You do not question what you grew up breathing. That is the honest truth of it. When a pattern has been present since childhood, your nervous system has categorised it as normal. The critical parent, the guilt-issuing sibling, the family member who makes every gathering about their own pain, these feel like personality, not behaviour. And personality, we are taught, is something you accept in the people you love. There's also the loyalty trap. Naming a family member's toxic traits can feel like a betrayal of the whole family. You worry about being the one who caused trouble. You tell yourself they mean well, and sometimes they genuinely do. Intention and impact are not the same thing, but in families, we extend extraordinary grace to intention and minimise the impact on ourselves. The 6 signs worth taking seriously. 1. Your emotions are regularly dismissed as overreaction. What it looks like: you express hurt, frustration, or concern, and the family member responds with "you're too sensitive." You always dramatise everything, or a pivot to their own feelings. Your emotional reality is treated as the problem. Why it happens? This is often a deflection strategy. Acknowledging your feelings would require the other person to sit with discomfort or accountability they are not equipped to handle. Why it matters? Over time, you stop trusting your own emotional responses. This is not a small thing. It erodes the very internal compass you rely on to protect yourself. If you want to understand the mechanics of how this erodes communication, how unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore connection, offers a useful framework even outside the workplace context. What to do? Keep a short record. 3 words describing what happened and how you felt afterward. After 2 weeks, read it back. The pattern will be undeniable. This much I know for certain: when someone consistently makes you doubt your own feelings, that is not love. That is control with a gentle face. 2. Guilt is used as a navigation tool. What it looks like: decisions you make for your own life, whether about time, relationships, or career, are met with visible suffering from the family member. They do not say you're wrong outright. They simply make sure you feel the weight of disappointing them. Why it happens? Guilt is a powerful tool for people who feel they have no direct authority over your choices. It replaces conversation with emotional leverage. Why it matters? You begin organizing your life around avoiding their pain rather than building your own. Scripts for addressing behaviors that undermine group synergy can help you find language for these conversations when they feel impossible to start. What to do? Notice the next time you change a decision specifically to manage their emotional reaction rather than because it was genuinely the wrong decision. Name that privately to yourself. Guilt given freely as a gift is just love. Guilt used as a leash is something else entirely. 3. Conversations shift to them before you finish talking. What it looks like: you begin sharing something that matters to you, and within 2 exchanges the conversation has become about their experiences, their struggles, or their opinion of your situation. It happens every time, not occasionally. Why it happens? Some people genuinely lack the capacity for sustained attention on another person's inner world. Others have learned that centering themselves is the safest way to maintain connection without real vulnerability. Why it matters. You stop bringing your real life to the relationship. The connection becomes shallow, and the loneliness inside the family bond is often the most isolating kind. What to do? Test it deliberately. Bring something genuinely significant and notice, specifically, how many exchanges pass before the conversation turns. One or two is human. Every single time is a pattern. 4. Humor that only works if you are the target. What it looks like. Jokes about your weight, your choices, your failures, your appearance. When you show discomfort, you are told you cannot take a joke. The laughter is always at your expense, never genuinely shared. Why it happens. This is one of the most counterintuitive signs on this list. It does not look like harm, because everyone is laughing. But humor used this way is a socially acceptable delivery system for contempt. It says what cannot be said directly and hides behind levity. Why it matters. Contempt is corrosive. It does not need to be shouted to do its work. Every joke lands a small deposit of shame, and shame accumulates quietly over years. Passive-aggressive behavior that silently erodes connection follows exactly this pattern, and the article gives language for naming it. What to do? Say once, clearly and without anger. That kind of joke is not something I find funny. Do not soften it. Watch the response. People who respect you will adjust. People using humor as a weapon will escalate. After decades of getting this wrong, I learned this. The person who tells you that you cannot take a joke is usually the person making sure the joke was never actually funny. 5. Your successes make things harder, not easier. What it looks like. Good news from you produces silence, subtle critique, sudden focus on what might go wrong, or pivot to someone else's achievement. There's no genuine celebration. There may even be a quiet campaign to introduce doubt. Why it happens. Some family members have organized part of their identity around your limitations or struggles. Your growth threatens this story. This is one of the harder signs to name, because it can look like caution or realism. Why it matters. You begin editing your life before sharing it. You minimize your achievements preemptively. Eventually, you stop bringing your wins to the family at all, and that silence has a cost. What to do? Share something positive with them, and simply observe the full response over the following 48 hours. Do not explain it. Do not defend it. Just watch. 6. The rules change depending on how they feel that day. What it looks like. What was fine last month is now a grievance. Boundaries you thought were understood are suddenly violations. What was once praised is now criticized. You never quite know which version of the relationship you are walking into. Why it happens. This inconsistency often signals that the relationship is organized around their emotional state rather than any consistent set of mutual values. You're always calibrating to a moving target. Why it matters. You become hypervigilant. Reading the room. Anticipating mood. Softening yourself before you even arrive. Recognizing the rehearsal trap that prevents real conversations describes exactly this kind of preemptive self-editing and why it stalls genuine connection. What to do? Write down 3 specific recent examples of the inconsistency. Having concrete instances stops the self-doubt that says you're imagining it. 7. Loyalty is demanded, not earned. What it looks like. Disagreeing, setting a limit, or choosing your own needs is framed as betrayal. After everything I have done for you is a sentence you know well. The relationship is presented as a debt you are perpetually repaying. Why it happens. This confuses obligation with love. It often comes from people who experienced conditional relationships themselves and have never examined that model. Why it matters. You lose the ability to have honest conversations because honesty feels dangerous to the relationship. How to use I statements to prevent blame cycles is a useful tool here. It gives you structure for speaking truth without triggering the loyalty alarm. What to do? Separate the history from the current request. Acknowledge what has been given. Then name what you need now. Gratitude and limits are not contradictions. The root running under all of these. Here is the systemic truth. Most of these signs share a single root. The family member relate to you as an extension of their own emotional world rather than as a separate person with legitimate inner life of your own. You are there to regulate their feelings, reflect their identity, and not disturb the version of the family they need to believe in. Every toxic trait on this list is a symptom of that fundamental confusion. The behavior is not usually malicious, but it is harmful regardless of intent. and naming the root helps you stop taking each symptom personally. That is also why these patterns can exist alongside genuine love. The two are not mutually exclusive, and understanding that removes a lot of the shame from the recognition. A diagnostic checklist you can use today. Go through these statements and answer yes or no based on your most recent several months, not a single incident. After most interactions with this person, I feel worse about myself than before. I regularly rehearse conversations in advance to manage how they might react. For more on why this instinct develops, this piece on the amygdala hijack and high-pressure moments explains the neuroscience. I edit or minimize what I share to avoid a difficult response. When I express hurt, the conversation reliably turns to their feelings. I feel guilty for choices that have nothing to do with them. Other people in my life have expressed concern about how this person treats me. I feel relieved when an interaction is over, scoring 0 to 2 yes answers. You are dealing with a difficult relationship, but the signs of consistent toxicity are limited. Keep watching. 3 to 4 yes answers. A real pattern is present. This warrants honest attention and likely a direct conversation. 5 or more yes answers. The pattern is established. Naming it clearly is the first act of self-protection. Consider whether you need support in doing so. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imanblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to start? You do not need to confront, distance, or make any large decisions yet. The first move is to write down one specific behavior that has happened more than 3 times, what it looked like each time, and how it left you feeling. That is it. Specificity turns a vague sense of discomfort into something you can actually work with. From there, the question becomes whether a direct conversation is possible and what it would look like. Scripts for telling someone their behavior is isolating them offers language frameworks that translate well beyond the workplace when you need a script that is honest without being incendiary. Toxic traits family relationships carry are not a verdict on the love in the relationship. They are a description of a pattern. And patterns, when named clearly, can sometimes be changed. The first requirement is that you see them without flinching. Frequently asked questions. What are toxic traits in family members? Toxic traits in family members are repeated patterns of behavior that cause emotional harm, erode your sense of self, or manipulate your choices. Unlike occasional conflict, these patterns persist regardless of how you respond and rarely improve without deliberate intervention. The repetition and the impact together are what distinguish them from normal difficulty. Why are toxic traits in family harder to recognize than in other relationships? Toxic traits in family are harder to recognize because you have known these people your entire life. Their behavior feels normal because it is all you have known. Love, loyalty, and the fear of damaging family bonds all work together to keep the patterns invisible far longer than they should. How do you deal with toxic traits in a family member? Start by naming the specific behavior, not the person. Write down exactly what happens, how often, and how it leaves you feeling. This clarity separates the pattern from the relationship. Then set one clear boundary and communicate it calmly. Consistency matters far more than the initial conversation. Can someone with toxic traits change? Some people do change, but only when they recognize the behavior themselves and choose to address it. You cannot force that recognition. What you can control is how much access that behavior has to you. Protecting yourself is not abandonment. It is a necessary act of self-respect. What is the difference between a difficult person and someone with toxic traits? A difficult person is frustrating, stubborn, or hard to communicate with, but the relationship is not consistently harmful. Someone displaying toxic traits leaves you feeling regularly diminished, manipulated, or emotionally exhausted. The key difference is the pattern difficult people frustrate you occasionally. Toxic traits erode you steadily over time. How do I know if I'm overreacting to a family member's behavior? If you consistently leave interactions feeling worse about yourself, if you rehearse conversations before they happen to avoid being hurt, or if other people in your life regularly express concern about how this person treats you, you're likely not overreacting. Trust the pattern, not a single incident. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, The best-selling books eight right every time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.